The video version of this episode can be found at patreon.com/flagtimepodcast.
Yeah, so he once came to me being like, hey, here's this cool build I want to do. And I was like, that build's stupid.
That's stupid. Try again.
Hot Rod builder and engineer Cora Goodwin joins our podcast this week on Flag Time. Hello and welcome to the Flag Time Podcast, the automotive service podcast where we talk a lot about not that. Tonight's not episode that. Is going to be really cool because we actually have a real mechanical engineer on the show tonight. Cora Goodwin is joining us today. They've been on the Smoking Tire, the Drive, and a couple of RCR videos that I've seen. If you want to go ahead and just introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, I'm Cora, and yeah. Done, built some cars, done some shit. I was also in Jay Leno's garage once, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
Really kind of awkward because they're like, this car's really weird. And it was the TV show. And it's like, you can't show this on TV, can you? Anyway. Yeah. And I'm just like an old suburban parent and I'm like washed up, but I'm so happy to be here. Thank you all. Thank you for believing in me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for wanting to talk to me. I love this. I was eating pasta. I had to share that. Anyway, I'm just rambling. Go on. What are we talking about?
Rambling is a common theme of the show. So
yes,
that
happens a lot.
It's welcome. That's mostly me. We'll just be just talking, and then I'll pick a random tangent to ramble about for 15 minutes. And then Eric's like, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. And then
I'll say some stupid shit, which causes you to go on another tangent.
Yeah. Just say something slightly inaccurate, and I'm like, no.
But yeah, I guess we can start off with that. How did you get to where you are in the mechanical engineering kind of thing?
That was an interesting path. Where do I start on this one? Basically, I built some cars. Everyone's like, wow, so cool. And I sort of, I don't know if I deluded myself. There was like legitimately some, I think, possibility that I would have been paid to build more cars. You know, producers were always like, oh, we like your work. Come do the show. Come do this. And I was developing something with Discovery. And I was talking to Donut. So I really fucked up here. Can I say fuck on this show?
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
We curse like sailors here. It's fine.
We'll curse like mechanics.
I can pretend. Yeah, right. I was going to say, yeah, y'all work on players. You can't tell me you don't curse.
Yeah.
So I was developing a show with Discovery, and Discovery's like, hey, sign this exclusivity thing. So I did. And then I told Donut. Donut's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why did you do that? Like, we want to do a show with you. Anyway. And I was finally like, okay, I give up. Tired of all this shit. Let me just finish my engineering degree. I've already, like, some number of years into this. Kind of, like, very casually sunk some years. So I finished it out. Did Formula SAE in school, which is, like, super cool.
I had some friends that went through a Formula SAE program in at Western Washington University. That is a cool fucking program, I tell you that.
It's super cool. Yeah, it's a cool bunch of folks and just a cool project. And then, yeah, I went to Singer and then Zero Labs. And now I'm at Premier Tuning Group and we do Mercedes parts. So it's my like very brief professional educational summary, I guess.
Mercedes parts. Ooh.
So which Mercedes parts are you making?
What would you like to know?
Yes, I would.
we do high performance stuff for modern AMGs, basically. So any M177 powered cars. We have some stuff for, we actually have a good amount of like sort of knowledge base and parts for 156s. It's not the bulk of our business. 156s, we just love those motors. Oh, we have a blower for those. That's really fucking awesome and makes like 3 bajillion horses.
Is it the one that costs like 10K?
I mean, they all kind of cost 10K. All.
Okay.
It's like a, no, that's like a normal blower price.
That's a normal blower. Okay, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, our kit's really awesome. I mean, we add another accessory drive to the front to power it.
Nice.
And we run extra ribs. I mean, it's a really well-engineered kit. But we mostly, bread and butter is tunes, which we invented the software to tune the modern Mercedes. I say we. It was before my time, but, the royal we, as it were. We do turbos, intakes, fuel systems. I just developed a twin pump low pressure side kit that'll support, I don't know, 2,000, however many horses you can make out of it.
A lot.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did some math on the basket actually, because we put both pumps in one basket. And in theory, at full power, you'd run the basket out of fuel in about 5 seconds, but it didn't fill up. So you're good.
God damn.
Yeah, I mean, that's at like 1600 horses with like a 6.5 BSFC or something. It's like a worst case, but
anyway. That's wild.
But that's a lot of fuel. Yeah, so we do hack proof. Go check our website if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, as long as you're not responsible for the thermostat on the M177s, it's all good.
Like, I'm gonna find you.
No, it's weird. I don't really know about the issue because I'm so on the like just make them faster shit.
Right.
So I'm just like, what's wrong with these motors? We're like, nothing. They're like 3,000 million horsepower. But you know, like so like normal ass problems. I don't know about them that much. It's kind
of thermostat stick open sometimes and you have to go in there and change that out everything and it's all you gotta get
all done fucking hours.
What's really interesting is they figured out a software update that fixes the thermostats on the G-Wagon specifically.
On the G-Wagons.
Who thought of software update to fix a fucking thermostat? That's so wild. Yeah.
And that's the thing though. Like I don't Why does it have to be chassis specific? Like, why can't that work on also? They're probably working on a software fix for the rest of them. And hopefully they do that because I'm tired of taking them all apart.
Or they could just not put the fucking intercoolers there.
That's
yeah, but how do you change that on a car that's already made?
By fucking aftermarket intercooler kits. I don't care. Just do it.
I don't think Mercedes would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think. There's nowhere else for them to go, I don't think.
There really isn't. It's such a tight space.
Thinking about it, no.
You shouldn't have done that, Mercedes. That's bad.
I mean, does it have to be an air-to-water intercooler?
What did you say, PC?
Yeah,
it does. I said it doesn't have to be an air-to-water intercooler. You could put a big fucking intercooler in the front grill.
True.
You know, like every fucking tuner car on the road right now?
But
you gotta look at it from a manufacturer's cost perspective.
Yeah,
wouldn't it also
what's gonna
be
cost
cheaper?
The no, it's not gonna be cheaper to design an entire set of brackets and a custom intercooler and stuff that's supposed to work to retrofit from the old cooler, and you gotta replace the thermostat. Like you still always have to do it. It's just like that's not gonna.
Pixie, on the front end of Mercedes vehicles, there isn't a big open space where you can just put a giant intercooler. There's already like shit.
That's what the Sawzall's for.
That's not how you do that.
There's a Mercedes like Sawzall kit in the recall kit.
Oh my god.
William Sawzall, baby. We do actually sell a cooling kit that does, you know, trans cooling, like IC air to water circuit upgrades and all that. And it's hard to fit shit in there. It's like no joke. And we just had a specific kit for the fuck Mercedes for this. The GT63s are like a little bit different. Every part of the car is just like a little bit fucking different. Mm-hmm. Why?
It's a completely bespoke vehicle compared to everybody else.
It's just like, take an E-Class and just like twist every knob, just like one fucking notch in it. I mean, they're fast. They're cool. But like,
you know. I have a fun story about a new GT63 that I did a PDI on.
PDA?
Yeah, PDI, pre-delivery inspection, for those who don't know what PDA is. So when you bring those in, what they never told us, at least like either I didn't see it on a document somewhere, but I was never told that the GT63s have strut spacers on them.
Oh,
Each
strut has three yellow like strut spacers that you're supposed to pull off during the PDI so you can get on there. And I didn't know those existed, and I went on the test drive with it, and I was like, wow, this thing's like race car stiff. This is nice. This thing's really like...
like, this is stiff.
Yeah.
This is like stiffer than a 95 Civic with fucking Raceland coilovers on it or some shit.
I went home that night, and I'm part of a Facebook group for Mercedes-Benz technicians, and somebody posted, hey, tell your techs that there's strut spacers on the new GTs going out right now. And I went, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
So I got the car from sales the next day, got it out of the sales floor, put it back in my bay, and ripped them out. So, and now I have...
Look at you like...
They look like low-poly flowers, almost. So I wrapped them up in a bouquet to remind myself that every GT has to take these off.
Why do you have to take them off?
Do what?
And so why were they on there if you got to take them off in the first place?
I guess. Transportation.
They probably it up so it doesn't scrape going on and off the transport trucks.
That'll do it.
Something like that, yeah.
Interesting.
All All right. Now, Cora, you did say you worked on or you built cars before you did all this kind of stuff. There's an RX-7 that's pretty famous, linked to your name. Would you like to talk about that?
No, those memories are too traumatic for me. No, that's
memories, yeah. No.
Yeah, the Zero Fucks Given RX-7. Fun build, fun time. I could talk about it, but is there something you'd like to know? Because I don't have a great story, prepackaged, canned story on that one.
I guess I would like to know, like you built it and it got a lot of attention, apparently. Like, how did it, how did that get around?
Let me find this.
Yeah, it's
kind of familiar.
It's called the Zero Fucks Given RX-7.
Yeah. It's strange, sort of the whole, like, story of
this thing?
How it blew up.
I remember seeing the video on this thing.
The very same. Came out. Nothing's weirder than, like, I've talked to kids in college right now, like 20 whatever year olds, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're fucking adults, more or less, than young adults. And they're like, oh my god, bro, your RX-7, like, when I was a kid, I'm like, what do you mean when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, they were like 12 when this came out. Holy shit. Basically, I just drove it one day in the canyons. The way it got popular was insane because I just took it for a drive, and saw Matt and Zach, like, filming some car, and I just was like, I'll just stop. I don't know. I'll just go say hi. Like, I don't want to bother them, but, like...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and then Zach was like, oh, we'll come back, we'll film this, and it just blew the fuck up. I don't really know why. I think a friend of mine put it on Reddit, and it was, like, front page Reddit top 10 or some shit. And just, like, it was super, super... 600,000 views in, like, 4 days, and it was...
Wow. That's nuts.
That's so cool.
Because
I remember seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, it got around, and people were like, wow, this is dog shit. No, most, you know, most people were like... Most of the criticism. Yeah, and people just, I don't know, really liked it. I don't know why it struck a chord. I think it maybe broke open the new era of car building to some degree. It's sort of, I don't know if I want to say it paved the way. I don't want to, like, give myself all this credit. I think it was just sort of a lucky, it was sort of the right place at the right time. And I think builds now are just like, what if we do something insane?
Definitely a precursor.
Yeah, sort of like, to me, the who is it? I don't even want to say his name because he's kind of a little shit. Alex Choi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did, sorry, Alex, I met you and you were literally personally a little bit of a shit to me. He did, I think, a tube exoskeleton Lambo. And to me, that's like something I want to do with a C3. So it's sort of that style of shit. I think people just needed to see it done once. And I don't know. People are like, oh, you can just do weird shit.
You can just put shit on cars and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't need to be a pro mod. You don't need to do a tuner. You don't have to be one thing, right? You can just sort of take the homages and, like, put the homages on the car. Took the sauce, have fun.
Yeah,
it's like what that RWB guy does. It's like, you can just cut the fenders off a Porsche and it's fucking awesome.
You can, just because you can. Doesn't maybe mean you should.
You can do anything you want.
You sure can.
You can do anything you want to any car you want.
Yeah,
you do what you like.
You do what you like.
Ferrari, and then they'll send you a cease and desist.
Yeah, for some fucking reason.
I mean, that didn't stop Alex Martini.
Do not do that to the horse car. Do not the fuck up with the horse car. You can only put this pasta on it.
I heard a great theory that Ferrari's actually just super litigious because they're trying to establish precedent. So if they ever really actually give a shit, they'll just be like, look, we sue about everything. This is what we do.
I've never heard that word in my life. I don't know what that means.
Precedent?
No, litigious.
Ferrari? Yeah.
It's a Ferrari.
Decent desist.
Now, was that your favorite build that you ever did, or do you have a favorite build?
I would actually say, this is probably an easy one. I would say the Jet Amino was my favorite build.
Okay, yeah.
Friend. Oh, Jet Amino is fucking cash money. Matt Ferris sort of, we're like, hey, Matt, don't drive it in the canyons on this setup. This is the autocross setup. We have the fucking 185 rear tires, or 165? They're smart car wheels and tires.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Skinny boys.
Well, because, you know, it's like super front heavy. We chop off the back, so it's even more front heavy. So we drop the tiny rubber band tires. We're like, it rotates. Drive it in like a parking lot. Drive it on the street.
Oh, this thing.
Don't drive it in the canyons. And Matt Ferris takes it to the canyons. He's like, oh boy, this is sketchy. I'm like, yeah.
Yes, yeah, look
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
But the reason I love it is just, it's like sort of a whimsical and utilitarian in equal measure. It's amazing. It's like, if I, that's like what I aspire to be. Just like sort of fucking weird and whimsical, but like you know, I can still get shit done. I literally put a motorcycle in the back, drove it up to like deliver it to my friend to be like, hey, take this bike. And it was like as quick as a whatever Mustang. Mm-hmm. Fuck, which one? The Mach 1, the old Mach 1, not the
shit.
But, which yeah, it was like, one? Ah, oh, fuck, which gen is it? It's not because I raced one. Yes, the new, I think the new Edge Mach 1, I want to say. Did those come with the quad cam? I want to say.
Yeah, those had a quad cam.
Yeah, so I kept up with one of those. So that's about how fast it was, but it got like 40 miles a gallon and you could push it in.
Damn. Awesome. Jesus.
One vehicle do everything. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
And it was silly. So. Also, sticker bombing is fucking hard to do. Holy shit. You know how many stickers it takes? Like, put on a hood?
Oh, yeah.
It takes fucking forever.
It's incredible. We had this, like a bag of stickers, and we're all just like, oh, this will be enough. And there's, like, gaps all over the... Anyway, so... I love that car. It's a cool car.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Now, when it comes to motorcycles, what motorcycle do you currently have right now?
I have an 890 SMT as my, like, rider. ATM, KTM 890 SMT, sorry, for the non-motorcycle crowd. And I traded my last bike for some cash and a Project Ducati Monster S2R 800, which I'm currently doing the valves on.
Hell yeah.
I actually literally
So you're doing Desmo shit.
I'm doing Desmo shit. Here's the
Project fun. Ducati, huh?
Hell yeah.
We got the little fucking... I'm like holding this up like it makes any sense. You put this in the exhaust shim to actually measure it. And then we have this, which I usually use for something at night. it turns out the better way to do it is you just pull the piston up in the bore and then the valve can't fall all the way in. So, but I bought the stupid fucking forceps because
that's smart.
I try to be.
Yeah, desmodromic valves. When I started riding motorcycles in 2016, I looked up what desmodromic is, and that blew my mind. Like with how precise everything needs to be.
It's fucking weird. Like that, your clearance on the closers is zero.
You
go to zero. Yeah, I know. It's like, you're like, oh, what's the range? No, you're supposed to get as close as zero.
No range. Only zero.
Range. Zero. No slack. Fuck you.
It is a zero.
Does everyone in here know about Desmo? Should we talk about this? Is this like
I know a little bit about it. I'm not like in the engineering level kind of thing, but I understand.
Man. I just fix cars. Yeah. I put part on car and make new
I'm a bit of a motorcycle nut, so.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I feel like we should just brief like 20-second rundown. Desmodromic valves, at least in the way Ducati does them, I don't even want to say this. It's like basically means there's no valve spring. And there's two cam lobes. One pushes the valve down and the other one pulls it up. So the valves are just being pulled up and down. Yeah, by the cam. It's just weird. And so there's no valve springs. And it used to mean the reason they did this, I bought this expensive ass book about motorcycle race engines because I'm a nerd like that. It's the metallurgy back in like the 50s was kind of shit. So if you use valve springs, especially like normal coils like you'd think of, they would just break a fucking lot, especially at higher RPM because everyone's like, oh, we need RPM. So Ducati's like, fuck a valve spring. We're just opening them and closing them with the cam. But in the modern day, they're actually moving away from it a lot because your intervals, even when they really, really, really got them right, was like 10,000 miles on a valve check or 15 on the best ones they ever did.
Damn.
And you go to coil springs and it's like 18,000 miles until a check. Anyway, and they're more expensive and the services are more expensive and blah, 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 blah.
Anyway. It's a pretty simple setup though, honestly. You're like, there's like less moving parts technically.
There's more metal on metal contact though.
You have a closer and you have an opener. So you have two rockers basically for every valve, I think.
Maybe not.
So it's a lot of, you should look up, especially the four valves get a little tight in there. Mine's a two valve, it's a little easier. But
Jesus.
Yeah, you have
some complicated motorcycle shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Desmo valves are very cool and I'm scared, which is why I'm going to try and fix them or adjust it. But who knows what'll happen.
What's the, which car company is the one that has the valves are driven by solenoids? Is it Koenigsegg that did it, or is it BMW that's developing it?
The free valve.
Yeah, the free valve.
I thought Saab was doing there was a Saab with it, but maybe that was Koenigsegg who put it in a Saab to try it out. I want to say. Maybe.
I'm not surprised that Koenigsegg would be trying that kind of technology.
Yeah, they're like, why do we need spring?
Just solenoid. You don't need springs or a cam or anything. It's just all electronically driven.
Yeah.
Well, they've been used in F1 for a while, I think. And I think MotoGP uses pneumatic valves also, I want to say. That's or pneumatic springs.
That's fucking crazy. I didn't know that. I want to see that.
I'm thinking pneumatic springs versus pneumatic cams, and I don't know if any racing actually is like fully independent cams like that. But pneumatic springs are old school shit, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah, the technology that's in MotoGP bikes nowadays is fucking nuts. Like, have you, like, Sterling and Pixie, have you seen videos of, like, when the bikes go into launch mode before?
Oh, no, I just know bike go fast.
Yeah, like, the rear end will drop down to lower the center of gravity as much as possible so they can get a, like, faster launch off of the line. And then when they go, the bike will go back up to, like, the race height.
Yeah. To raise this up. It's pretty cool. I think they actually do that while they're heavy in braking zones too. They might have outlawed that. You would want to. I don't know if they let them do it.
Mm-hmm. That's so sick. I fucking love.
It's like a bike's version of active aero almost.
Yeah.
They have aero now. Yeah.
They do have aero too now.
Yeah, the fucking Ducatis, the little mustache canards on the fucking sides.
Yeah, little winglets.
See? Cool. They went that way.
Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the Flag Time Patreon. That's literally where we're getting all of our funding from. Flag Time Patreon is where you can see the video versions of all of our episodes from episode 30 onwards. We have three tiers that you can choose from. $3 tier that just lets you see the video episodes outright. A $6 tier that lets you see the video episodes and a bunch of other extra content, including access to our Discord. And a $15 tier that Pixie doesn't think you have the balls to get. $15 a month gets you everything that the $3 and $6 tiers get, including a shout out at the end of the episode. And also a listener interaction exclusive portion of the podcast specifically catered towards you guys. The Flag Time Podcast Patreon. Subscribe today to see.
Hi, Stirworks here. We here at Flag Time want to let you guys know that Apple has required Patreon to use their in-app purchasing system and remove all other billing options from their iOS services. This means that Apple's 30% App Store fee will be added to our existing tier prices, ramping up the cost. We want you to avoid this by using your browser on your Apple device for any Patreon purchases after November of 2024. Doing this bypasses the 30% App Store fee and doesn't allow an already successful corporation to nickel and dime you as the consumer. Existing supporters don't need to worry, as this only affects new members. Thank you for your attention, and we appreciate your continued support of this dumbass show.
I did see that you went on a was it a long motorcycle trip in Italy?
I've done probably 5-10,000 miles through Europe on bikes. That's too many. I've done a few motorcycle trips through Europe. It's really cool. It's really very privileged to be able to do that. Yeah.
Is there any standout moments from those trips?
Oh yeah, a whole bunch. I mean, the first one was actually I got really lucky because that's when the RX-7 was still a little more popular, and there was a bunch of folks who were like, "You're cool, come by my place, stay with me." So I just like show up on a motorcycle, be like, "Hi, I'm Corbin" at the time. And yeah, we hung out. Standout moments. There's like 100 of them, which means I can't name one. Yeah, what are some so it's just some beautiful motorcycling. There's a slate mine over in Northwest Wales, which is just a gorgeous place to ride a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Evo magazine, if you guys read that, they're always talking about like Northwest Wales. That's like the spot. And yeah, there's these really cool slate mines that I saw. There's a beach up in the Scottish Highlands that I came across. That was in a car. Oh my God, I'm so mad. That was how much shit I did. No,
like, I've been around a while.
I was like, well, Scotland's going to rain, so I'm going to rent a car like an intelligent person. But England's always sunnier, so I'm going to rent a bike. And of course, I go to Manchester, which is not sunny. It is really fucking rainy in Manchester. So I got rained on terribly on the bike, and then I rented a car for the tiniest, worst roads of all time and the beautiful weather. I'm like, I'm in a Peugeot RCZ. I'm like, can't see anything. Looks like a bean. It's a cool. You guys know that car?
Hey, I've heard of the RCC. Isn't that little like wacky? Let me look it up. Let me find.
Yeah, look it up. It's like a bean shaped car.
What's up, kiddo?
What's up? She can't hear you because I have earbuds in.
Hello.
You're famous. You're on a podcast. The last trip I did with a friend of mine who I got into motorcycles, which is really cool. And I was like, "Hey, you've ridden a few hundred miles. Why don't you just like come to Europe and ride through Europe?" And she's like, "All right, sounds great." And then I almost like got her killed because it was freezing and raining and like cold. And she'd been awake for like 48 hours. And I'm like, we'll just ride through like the Alps to go into Switzerland.
Oh,
wow.
Sounds like a great idea.
Anyway, and so I don't say I almost got her killed in that, like, just the amount of concentration she had at that point was like deeply negative. Yeah, it was just like you couldn't really see where you were going.
And mm-hmm.
That's fun. That's kind of important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But visual is imperative.
I don't know. This last trip to Italy was just really cool. I don't know, my friend, we saw Berlin and rode up in the mountains, and it's just a cool town. The Alfa Romeo Museum. Very cool museum.
Ooh,
cool.
Yeah. That's pretty.
That one was dope. We saw a bunch of weird... Oh, we saw a really weird one. So somewhere near the like Austrian-Swiss border, there's a Rolls-Royce museum. But it's literally just a dingy three-story building set deep, like way deep into a canyon. And it's just full of like pre-war Rolls-Royces in various states of like disassembly.
That's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not really a museum so much as it's like some guy's like shop, and they just
like an abandoned mechanic shop or something.
Yeah.
I think it's functional, but it's sort of like musty. It was weird. That was a really weird.
Steal something and find out.
Exactly. Let me steal something. Oh,
they care. No.
They like
I'm going to jail.
And it was crazy. It was next to a nativity scene museum.
A nativity scene museum?
Weird. Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. My friend wouldn't go in. She was like, that seems weird. I'm like, yes, that's why I'm going in.
That's weird. Let's go.
Yeah, so I don't know. I've just seen a bunch of cool stuff, and I could sit here and try to remember all of it. I don't know. Europe's great. Go right through it. It's awesome. It's fun.
You ever been to Spain?
Yes, but not on a bike. I was in Madrid and Barcelona doing whatever went else there. Having flings, laying around.
Hell yeah.
I was drinking beer, but I don't actually drink, so I wasn't drinking it.
Just pretend drinking beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Just pretending to look cooler.
Exactly. But yeah, yeah. Europe's awesome. I would actually love to move there. Like, just have a motorcycle and ride around.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe it's that. Sorry, this podcast is really... We're out here. We're doing it. We're just going to let her eat pasta. Yeah.
So I prefer to eat pasta, too.
I actually just wrote an account of why I went to Italy. Part of why, which is to see my, like, way back, like great grandpa's village, and I actually wrote about it in Revzilla. Part of my writing on Revzilla.
Ooh,
yeah. So I'm a published author.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah!
Pretty cool.
Now, if you like money, no object. If you could have any motorcycle, past, present, which one would you get?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Dodge Tomahawk.
I was just about to say that.
God, it's always tempting to be like, I'd have the NSR 750 or NR 750. One was the GTA bike, and one was the real bike. I can't remember which is which.
Haas 350.
You know what? Maybe, possibly, a Bimota. Probably a Bimota Tessie 3D.
Yes.
I fucking love those. I don't think they're good. They're so cool.
Do you know what those are, Sterling?
I am unfamiliar. I'm it going to a Google machine right now.
It is a swing arm motorcycle.
The fuck?
It's a Bimota, like Bimota.
First letter?
B.
B.
I.
T. A.
There you go.
Bimota.
Tessie 3D.
Testy?
No.
I literally typed testy. Okay. 3D. Nice.
There's actually one for sale right now at Iconic, which if I have lots of money.
That is a very interesting looking motorcycle. Yes.
I saw one in person at Garcia Moto in Raleigh, North Carolina, when I went to go get my S1000 serviced. And yeah, it was
looks like a Bionicle.
It looks like where are the fucking handlebars? Oh, there they are.
It's a real weird bike. They're just wacky. I love wacky shit.
Oh, yeah.
I think they have the steering feel, but like it's so cool. I don't care.
I imagine it's like close to having forks because it uses push rods.
Wow, so that's crazy. I gotta be fucking... okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it rides fine.
Mm-hmm.
SC3D, like what is? I don't need more power than that. That's like the where I've come to in my motorcycling life. Like, because I just feel like Kawasaki H2. Oh yeah, but like I don't know. I don't need that.
That's the thing with me, like. My dream bike right now is a ZH2.
Oh, those are cool. The ZH2's dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I reviewed one in 2020, somewhere around there, for my YouTube channel. And it has, like, I only rode it for a day, and it has never left my mind since.
Oh,
somebody was towing a ZH2 this morning on my way to work.
Yeah.
Oh, because
it's a standard bike. It's set up to, you know, commute on to be able to go and just do normal things. But it's supercharged, has 200 horsepower, and has a wheelie control where you just floor it and the wheel hovers. It doesn't cut the power and cut it back down.
Yeah.
And I'm just I want it in my life so bad.
The Bimota Tessie. It was like $37,000.
It's an expensive motorcycle.
It's just incredible. I mean, if you've ever heard of a Virus, VYRUS, it's like a similar, they do similar stuff.
That's a lot of money for a motorcycle.
And the Viruses are like 60,000, or they were. They're
What's
like
it called?
Unbelievably. Virus, VYRUS, and they are related to the
Bimota Tessie. Even weirder.
Virus motorcycle.
That's cool looking.
I think the engineer who did the Tessie made his own company and did the Virus also.
These are very interesting looking motorcycles. Like what motorcycles they'd use to make Transformers or something.
The Alien looks fantastic.
This is all in Italian.
It's got Ducati. It's got Ducati engines.
California technology. Technologica.
That is a wicked looking motorcycle. I love that.
What the fuck? Yeah. This is great. Yeah, shout out Virus and
the 988 Alien.
Bimota motorcycles. That's some cool shit. Go look up what those look like.
Yeah, Bimotas are awesome. And Bimotas had all sorts of like stuff. The Tessie's their like weirdest bike, but everything they make is kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their website's fucking cool.
Yeah, for the audio listeners. What?
Yes. I was going to say, Bimota once tried to make a V-twin two-stroke, and it failed horrifically. You guys want to know? It's called the V-Due. If you want to know about Bimota's, it bankrupted the company. And, ruined it.
Oh, sick.
Sorry. Were you going to tell
me? No, you're good. I was going to say, for the audio listeners, these motorcycles that we're talking about, they're dual swing arms, so it doesn't have forks on the front suspension. It's got another swing arm in the front.
Yeah, it's got, cantilever steering or something.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's strange.
It's absolutely wicked.
That's crazy.
They're still doing it, but now Kawasaki, I think, bought them. So they're heavily Kawasaki tech and part. Oh, the new one is, as you may know, it uses the supercharged H2 motor with the front swing arm. It's amazing. And it's $69,000. Cool. Yeah,
shit.
So actually, you combine both of our dream bikes together. It's that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to rule them all.
Hell yeah.
Very nice. I think we can go ahead and go to the listener interaction segment here.
Dude, I'm picking up the configurator for the Alien right now. This is fucking great. This shit looks like if Tron and the Bionicle movies had a baby, and then the babies grew up to make motorcycles, and then they made this fucking thing.
Bionicle Tron set.
Virus Alien, spelled with Y's instead of I's. Interesting. That's very cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. I want to steal that. If I was in a movie and there was a motorcycle chase, that'd definitely be the motorcycle I would pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's freaking wicked looking, man.
You ever seen that movie Torque, the motorcycle, Fast and Furious? It's gonna pass.
I don't think I have.
No, it's really silly. It's great. And it uses the Y2K bike at the end. You know, the one with the helicopter engine.
Yes, Jay Leno's bike.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Jay Leno, one of those. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's fucking sick.
All right, we'll go ahead and go to the listener interaction segment right here. We'll start with our Patreon listeners. If you go to our Patreon and you pick the premium tier, you get to have exclusive access to your own listener interaction segment where we can't overlook what you say unless it is stupid. We'll go over here to our first response.
The only caveat.
Yes, the only caveat.
Don't be stupid.
Premium member level 14 asks... are there any specific boxes, quote unquote, a project has to check when you are building it? Certain handling, specific functionality, etc.
Oh, that's interesting. I think it has to check. I think it has to fit the mission. I think a lot of times my criticism of builds, sort of any level, right? Everywhere from built in a shed to built in a shed, but the shed is Ferrari, right?
Scuderia.
built in a big shed. I think it always just has to fit the mission. I feel like every once in a while I see a car and I'm like, why did you actually a great one here. This is again, this is the very philosophical difference is I think I got into an argument with Tavarish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he once came to me being like, hey, here's this cool build I want to do. And I was like, that build's stupid.
That's stupid. Try again.
And I think, you know, he was really looking for like my like enthusiasm with it, which like, you know, don't let me ruin your life. But I was just like, I don't really get it. I wasn't like that stupid. I'm just like, why? I was like, why would you? I don't remember what it was. He like wanted to put like a V12 with a DCT and a this and a that. And I'm like, why? V12's don't handle. And so we can put it in the front of a car. The car has to be built around it. Like, it's not going to handle. Anyway. And so I was like, what are you going for? What's the
mission? Idea?
Yeah. So I think I have to look at what's this car trying to be? And then reference all the decisions against it, right? I mean, that's really any good product design is, are your decisions make sense? Like at Zero Labs where I worked, we do stuff sometimes and I'm like, why? Like, why does this car have 10 inches of travel? Is it an off-road vehicle? Does it need that? Is that actually the mission? And I think the Rolls-Royce sort of, I don't want to call it my worst build, but it was a little unfocused. It was a little like, okay, it's like a drift car, but it's like a hot rod and it's an art piece commenting on Empire. And it's like, well, what is the comment on Empire? Like, sure, everything in here is like a reference to the British Empire in some way, shape, or form. And yes, you could just say it's a self-aware vehicle. Okay, it's a self-aware embodiment of the British Empire. Cool, but like, that's not tight enough for me. Anyway, so what boxes it has to check is like, it fits. It's part of the mission. I don't know. I don't know if that actually answers the question.
That makes sense to me.
It makes sense, yeah.
That's the best answer I got.
Yeah, it's like it has to achieve the goals that you want it to achieve.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, it just has to, the boxes have to be like well-defined so you can check them. I don't know.
Exactly.
Unless you're going to end up like a teenager in Forza putting all of the best options on the thing and you end up with this overpowered tonk of shit. So.
Exactly, yeah.
What Alex was mentioned.
I mean, I think giving like a Volvo wagon 1,000 horsepower can be a really cool mission of just like, yeah, I just want to create something that like blows the tires off all the time, all day, you know, and looks silly, which is cool. But, you know, you put a big wing on the back and it's like, well, I don't make any sense.
Like, is it going to be a track car or what?
Yeah, exactly. Anytime I say, or like, what are you doing?
All right, we'll go to the next one here. Police 428 premium member says, as a motorcycle enthusiast, do you think many first-time riders have a hard time finding which bike to get due to the way too many choices given by manufacturers and the pressure of others?
Oh, that's a great question. That is a great question. Yes and no. I think it is really confusing. I've like advised a lot of folks on this. Maybe not a lot, but like my share of friends. I think the worst part is the advice of friends and like social media stuff where they're like, I started with a 600, it's great. And you're like, the ergos are bad. Why would you start with that bike? like you can. I just think the messaging is often like, here's why you should start with this because it's cool. And not like, I did this because I wanted it for this reason, but it's actually not a good idea at all. Traditionally a good idea. Yeah, I think advice is the killer. Basically, if you tell someone, look, get ABS, get a light bike with ABS somewhere between 300 and 800 cc's, depending on how fast you think they can handle. Mm-hmm. They'll find something. Let them, I think most people do look through a few things and something speaks to them pretty strongly. I don't know. I don't think there's too many choices, but I think advice is just so hard to make good advice.
Yeah, I can't give any advice on that subject because like I started riding on an S1000RR. And because of the situation that I was in, it was my dad's who passed away and then I inherited it from him. And the only way that I could keep it was to start riding it. And that that was my hyper specific situation that I was put in to start riding an S1000RR. Would I say for somebody to start on an S1000? No.
No.
Don't do that.
Oh, yes. The first car you should get is a McLaren F1. Yeah. It's cheap and fuel efficient.
It's got a gold-plated engine.
It's definitely first not car is a $40 million.
And Dodge Viper.
Yeah. Perfect. Go
on, first car.
Jesus.
Buy an 89 Viper and go drive in the rain.
It's such a good time to get into riding, too. The tech has got so... Actually, just today, I went to a KTM demo ride, rode a Duke 3 Nuiti, and oh my god, it's got like GT and ride modes and traction. Baby.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sleep good tonight. Oh, my God.
Met the fellow last night. Then I rode his dick like a bike.
Jesus.
Sorry, what was that? Oh.
Do you know the Four Big Guys song?
I do not.
Four big guys. It's a very funny, ridiculous
rap song. My hands.
It was a meme song going around Instagram a couple years ago.
I say as I'm opening my fucking ballot.
Did I see a nice big long AR in the background?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, because I was using it as a demonstration.
Just using it as a demonstration to compare how.
Should I retell the fucking
nuts on it?
Should I retell the fucking?
Yeah.
Let me go get the bolt carrier again.
Retell the story.
What's the story?
He's got a Mammoth 1000 in his shop right now, and
What is a Mammoth 1000?
He'll explain.
Okay.
Because I don't even know, actually.
Who the hell takes the fucking to get repaired? The fuck is that?
No.
Your internet's crashing, Sterling.
Oh, my fucking God. I'm going to kill somebody.
The wind's blowing his internet away again.
It's not even fucking windy outside.
Okay, so we had a Ram in the shop today with a noise complaint. And not only is it like a TRX,
no, you're good.
But it's a Mammoth from Hennessy TRX.
Nice.
And we pulled it into the shop, and the CV axle on the driver's side, the outer one, is popped out of the socket. Because the guy decided to take it back to Hennessy earlier this week to turn it up even more past 1,000 wheel horsepower. And Hennessy doesn't upgrade the CV axles or the brakes on the Mammoth. So it's the factory TRX axles. And regular CV axle joints are just like the three knuckles that go in the thing. The CV axles on the Ram look like that. It's just splined like that.
Interesting.
Except, okay. And that was just broken off and just hanging. It was just hanging on the control arm.
All right. Sounds bad.
Yeah, it's bad. The stock TRX axes.
How fast are they?
The TRXs.
The Mammoth 1000.
It's a 6,000-pound truck with 1,000 horsepower at all four wheels. You tell me.
So it goes 0 to 60 in like 4 seconds,
more or less. But when he turned it up,
not very fast.
It now makes like I think 1,200 of the tires.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's fucking 1,000 horsepower to go 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds.
It's because it weighs 6,000 fucking pounds.
I mean, it's basically the same power to weight as a C6 FET, right?
Yeah. You just need 1,100 horsepower to do it.
Yeah. If we want to talk about power to weight, my S1000 has a bigger power to weight ratio than a Bugatti Veyron.
Spikes are cheat codes for sure.
Yeah, they are.
The Veyrons weigh like a lot, though.
They're
mountains, yeah.
Those weigh like 4,500 pounds.
Wow, they're that much?
Yeah, they're fucking heavy.
Sorry. Our Roadmaster's station wagon weighs less than that.
It does.
Premium member DogMilk53 asks, if you had to pick only one of the vehicles that you own or have owned, car or bike, for the rest of your life, which would it be?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah, that's kind of an unsolvable question.
Yeah.
Actually, I might have an answer to this. Mm. Only one. Sorry, it's the only vehicle I own. Just one to do everything.
Yes.
Interesting. That's actually a toss-up. It's sort of an easy toss-up. One is my CTS V1, which I shouldn't have sold. It was on the Team Dynamics wheels, which you can't get. KW V3s. It had long tubes, which I got rid of I don't remember why I got rid of this. I shouldn't have done that. And yeah, manual with like the LS7 clutch upgrades, all that good shit.
Oh, wow.
It was really nice. And it was 07 with the like limited color on it, lowish miles. Good car. Good at doing big V8 sedan shit. gosh, that, or maybe I had an 86 911. That was pretty cool. Probably a G-Bot. It's probably the 911, I guess. I don't know. That was I had it way before they were cool, before everyone cared that much about them. Mm-hmm. And it's the only car I've ever crashed.
Fuck.
Because I broke up with the girl, not because I was like going too fast, but because I was like despondent, I didn't notice I was going too fast. Not I was like trying to fucking, you know, go crazy. I went like way out into the canyons past where I normally went, and I was coming back, and I'm like, I didn't have the muscle memory. Like all the local roads,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I couldn't crash, but like I know every corner. It's not like I didn't have to like think about those. But anyway, that's a story for another day.
Gotcha.
Yeah, fuck it. 86911 G bot. You can't go wrong with that.
Hell yeah.
I can't premium. Drive those very well.
Hell yeah.
You got like six pixels, Sterling.
I told you to tell me when it was fucking up.
It just now started, but it's doing better now.
Fucking piece of shit.
Close the window. You're letting the internets out.
Says 116 ms.
The sharks are chewing on the
86 ms.
Yeah, right. I wonder if we've already talked about this. Premium member Midwestern Metalhead 03 says, what was your favorite stop during the Italy trip?
Oh, favorite stop. That's a great one. I wonder if favorite city or favorite stop.
Favorite stop in your favorite city.
I'm like retracing it all. Maybe. No, that one actually sucked. I'm actually, sorry, I'm going to turn this on its head and talk about maybe my least favorite stop.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, most memorable stop.
It's more interesting. Or my most disappointing stop. It's not my actually least favorite. So. Mm-hmm. Because my most favorite is a bunch of really cool shit up there. I don't know. It's all awesome. Bolzano was cool. Genoa was really cool. Genoa's a fucking weird city. Genoa's a really weird city.
Genoa.
And actually, I rode an e-bike at Genoa around with this random guy in the rain. And it was like a one-on-one thing. It's like a whole, you know, normally he takes a tour group, but either nobody showed up or nobody signed up. So it was just me and him. And e-bikes are kind of dope. It's like sold me on e-bikes. You can just do like 50 miles and you're just sort of like somewhat tired. You're not like
somewhat tired, yeah.
Yeah, you're just sort of like, ah, that was a nice little workout. The most disappointing stop is I went to. Do you guys know Lake Como?
I've heard of it.
North of Milan. They used it at the beginning of a Bond movie. George Clooney has a house there. It's just this like very. Oh, the Moto Guzzi factory is on the eastern shores of Lake Como.
Okay,
it's like a fork-shaped lake, and so there's a thing that juts out into the middle, and at the tip there's a town called Bellagio, and I'm just always like, Bellagio, wow, like the Vegas, like, oh my gosh, this must be like the jewel of Lake Como. It must be the fanciest because it's like on the tip right in the middle, right? And so I was like so hyped for Bellagio. You know who else is so hyped for Bellagio? Every other American.
No,
especially if you're American, he's a boomer. Every other American boomer really loves Bellagio. So it's like the only place on this trip I went where I'm just like, oh, it's all like 45-year-old moms and stuff, which is cool. It's just not what I wanted.
Yeah.
In my like cool town. I was just like, and the actual city's fine, but it's just small and it's okay. Oh. There's a cool restaurant, but you know, like IDK in a place where like I went to like Bologna. Bologna's like cool and has a sharp edge to it, and I had some fucking amazing pasta there, and like you know that's like a real city. There's like shit going on. Bellagio is just like a tourist trap with like three shops and like a cool little.
It's a tourist trap because dumb Americans only know that from Vegas.
Like, yeah, let's go to Bellagio and fucking not gamble because it's not Vegas.
Yeah, I was like, just oh my god, the Bellagio, it's so romantic. And then I went and whatever, it was fine. Like, it was fine. It was just like I expected. I don't know why I expected more. I just did. But Moto Guzzi factory is cool, so I don't know.
That's super cool.
That would be cool. Hell yeah. Chrysler Connection premium member says, if you could only own one brand of car for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a tough one. Lamborghini, personally? No. I'm going to stick to normal brands of car. I'm kind of a Ford person, actually. I don't know if I would give that as a final answer, but historically, kind of been my thing a little bit. I had a Focus RS. I really liked that. I had a Cobra Mustang back in the day. Like that.
Cool.
I had a Thunderbird I dragged out of a driveway in the neighborhood. Like that. Wow. Yeah, weird story.
What year Thunderbird?
69.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, with a 429, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Big block. Yeah.
Big block, brother.
Had a big block roller motor in it.
Yeah, big block with a C6. That's funny because my friend was like, I wish he was going to fix it up. Do y'all know Victoria Scott?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. I was originally going to have her. So she came down to work on it with me. And originally we were going to try to get it running in 2 days on camera with this producer guy I knew. And then she was going to drive it back up to Idaho. And I remember the conversation I was having, she's like, will it be okay? Like, it's been sitting for 40 years. Like, will the transmission be okay? And I was like, it's six. Of course it's fucking fine.
We're gonna find out.
Fluid in it. Like, it doesn't care. It's mostly just fluid anyway. Just put some fluid. Yeah, but that thing was cool. Yeah, Ford? God, who else would it be? Not Honda. Fuck Honda. I'm like, I'm offended. Honda's a great brand. It is not my brand. It's just not my thing. Everyone I've driven feels kind of like a toy. Yeah, they don't do sound insulation. They're always just like, here's a car. We forgot to put sound insulation in it. Which for me, I don't like. Maybe people don't mind. I mind.
I love it.
oh, you know what? Okay, sorry. Y'all have to decide. Do I get to pick any past or future models, or is it like today's lineup?
They didn't say.
I'd probably say for all cars, like in history.
I think like if you could, because I don't know if you're thinking about like, I'm going to pick this brand, so if I have to pick something in the future that they make in the next 10 years, maybe, I don't know.
I think looking at like now, looking forward, Toyota, actually.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Just, yeah, they still have manuals.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have, they want to party. I don't know. Might be Toyota. I think GR Corolla could be my next car, actually.
Those things are a fucking blast to drive.
So good. So good. I mean, because I have BMWs right now, and they have hurt me a lot. Too much, perhaps. That or Mercedes, but Mercedes won't make fucking manuals, and I don't want to have to figure out how to convert
them. Yeah, no. It's all automatic or DCT.
Yeah, so I don't know. Either Ford or Toyota. God, maybe Toyota. It's a weird answer. I didn't expect that. I should probably pick something fancier. Oh, well, no. I would pick Porsche, but that's a little unfair.
Yeah.
Listen, Porsche asterisk, if it's a real actual brand that I can afford anything from, Toyota.
Okay.
Final answer, stick to it.
Premium member Hal says, one, they absolutely love the Zero Fucks RX-7, so they were a fan of that. and two, what do you think is the ultimate let's piss off the purist engine swap?
Oh, God, that's a great one. Piss off the purist. I wonder if they mean in an RX-7?
I don't know.
Maybe just in general.
I would imagine, like, in general, like, if any...
I think the go-to that even I have trouble sometimes swallowing, because I saw it in an RX-8 once, and I'm like, really? It's the God, who makes it? The 4-cylinder diesel that they throw into things sometimes, if you know what I'm talking about. There's like a cheap like truck motor that they used to put on like food trucks.
God, oh wow. Makes that
diesel. The Hilux 4-cylinder?
Isn't it like an NPR engine or something?
It's like an industrial ass. Like sometimes they use it in industrial motors, but they have put it in vehicles. And people swap that into things. Why I don't know why I can't think of it for the life of me. But yeah, it's just like old smoky like 1950s, maybe not 50s, but like 80s tech diesel. That's a horrific engine to put in almost anything. Especially
put
in
an RX-8.
I saw it in an RX-8 and I'm like, I kind of
that's funny.
This. RX-8s handle so beautifully and now it does not. I only know one thing that does not handle. Yeah, like you'd have to put that in the middle of a car for it to make any sense. I saw a video the other day of the AMG One that was the super fast one. Yeah, going around the ring, I was like, what is
this? Oh, yeah, no, it beat its own time by 5 seconds recently.
You ever have a car so fast, it just beats its own time?
It's the fastest production car in the world right now. It's right. Nuts how fast that thing is.
I think I was reading that you have to rebuild it at 30,000 miles.
You do.
Because it's a literal fucking F1 engine.
Yes, like, it is. That's like... You know Shmi, right?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah, so he posted a video of the startup procedure, and I'm like, yep, it's an F1 engine, because you have to warm up the oil before you can hit the starter.
Oh, you do? It has like a heater probably in it? Oh.
Yep. So it's definitely not made to be a daily driver.
Meanwhile, my 2-valve 4.6 will last an eternity without needing to be broken open.
Yeah.
That's the magic of the 2-valve, baby. That's what it does. I used to have a Crown Vic, actually. I forgot. I had another Ford. I had a police interceptor.
Panther body.
I beat the hell out of that car. I would take it in the dirt and drift it. The cops just pulled me over like on site because they knew I was up to some bullshit. And I was like, yeah. They once like took me out of the car and I had a hatchet next to me. And the guy was like, the guy was like, well, I was going to let you go. It's like, I was going to let you go, but my partner doesn't like white boys. And I was like, Just my cousin. My like Irish cousin was in the car.
Mm.
It got weird. I thought we were like kidnapping her, I think.
Oh.
Like, I'm not kidnapping my cousin. Just whatever.
Yeah, I grew up in Panther body vehicles. My dad had a Crown Vic. My mom had a Grand Marquis. My dad really wanted the Marauder when it came out.
Oh, Marauder. Oh, Marauder's cool. Mm-hmm.
We had a Grand Marquis in the shop yesterday that had 488,000 miles on it.
Jesus Christ.
The original engine and transmission, too.
Panther baby. It just goes, it goes.
This guy has maintenance history since it was brand new. Does everything to it. It's barely leaking anything.
That's what happens when you keep vehicles maintained.
Yeah. He hasn't even had the timing chain hasn't even been touched.
Wow. That's crazy.
And the cat.
Hey. I have an animal. Don't say anything, animal.
She's not
talking. Staring at the microphone.
Anything? This is Millie. She's a tortie. Or tabby, rather. I'm fucking out of it today. There you go.
All right, now that Sterling's back, we can go ahead and continue on with the Patreon responses.
Issues.
Let's see. Nick Toomey, premium member, asks, have you completed your private pilot's license training yet?
No, I didn't. And this is like key mistake. So I was like 35 hours in or something, and mm-hmm. I was doing solos and I was like doing okay, and I remember one morning I was practicing like short field, soft field, and I was like, this isn't fun, this is kind of a fucking drag. And I'm like, god, I'm paying a lot of money to like have it be kind of a drag, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, let me just like wait till I have like a few less things going on in my life. Why did I ever think there was gonna be less stuff going on? Historical data right there, there's never less stuff. And so I'm like, oh, I'll just come back to this when I have more time. And then and now that I have a kid, I'm like, more time is not coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, unless I like fucking get rich and quit my job completely or something, or like, you know, even then I'm like, what, how? Anyway, so no, I never completed it, and I should really have when I had the chance.
Gotcha. Premium member Cyan Lion asks, what's a build that you've always wanted to do but haven't done yet?
Basically, there were three that I had in my back pocket that I was always like, if I ever get become famous or whatever, I'm just gonna like do these builds. One was the Overland C3 with a Volkswagen diesel in it and some more cool shit. I don't know how much to describe, like whatever. What's someone gonna do it? Go do it. You could never be me. You could never be this shitty. Basically a diesel Overland exo cage. You know, C3 with some cool whatever.
That would be super cool.
One is a Ferrari with a rotary in the back. And ooh, a lot of the ideas from that I'm actually carrying on into... And the third one was a... we'll get to the original three, but then we'll get to the one that I actually want to do that I am jonesing for, which is the third one was an SC430 with a giant-ass diesel put in the middle of it. And done kind of in this, because again, giant diesels, cool, and they'll make a bajillion horses, awesome, but you can't make it handle unless you put it right in the middle of the car, and then put the seats like in the back or something. It was less well defined, but basically put the front seat into the back seat, put a diesel in the middle, and then have it be like an old like Brooklyn's Racer type 5. Would it have worked? I don't really know. That was sort of just the like
the sounds fucking cool though.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was working with this producer guy who filmed me doing the Thunderbird, and he and I kind of workshopped it to do a car called the Amtrans, which would be a Trans Am with some interesting shit. I'll just say that a lot of the ideas from the Ferrari. I kind of want to redo my favorite like ever mod, which is the fabric fender flares of the Jet Amino. I'm just like, yeah, I need to back. But there's a lot of ideas all mishmashed, and basically put a V12 and a Trans Am and do a lot of other interesting shit to it.
Wow.
So we'll just say the Amtrans is brewing. I don't want to talk about it too much, but if any of your viewers have a lot of money and
want
to evaporate, just want
to. If anybody wants to invest in cool ideas.
If you hate money, give it to me. I'll do something cool with it.
Listen, number one Kickstarter backing on that, I'll just like private stream and be working on in a maid outfit. I don't know why you want that. I'll do it.
And why aren't you in uniform?
Like, when it comes to, like, weird builds and stuff like that, back when I owned my old Prius, I always, like, dreamed of gutting it out, putting some stupid engine in a mid-engine kind of thing, and keeping the hybrid drivetrain in the front as well.
Just, this is the booster engine.
Yes, yeah, so, like, you're driving it like a normal Prius, and if somebody comes up to you, because for some reason, anybody in a sports car acts like they want to race you in a Prius, I guess, because they're just trying to bully you. You just, they act like they're getting ready to race you, and you flip a switch, and the 2JZ in the back rips open to the rear-wheel drive independent rear suspension setup, and you now you have a four-wheel drive, like, hyper-powered Prius that you could just... I have no idea if that would have ever worked.
Or I mean, it's a guy with...
Awesome.
There's that guy that has the two motors, Honda Civic. It's got the motor and trans in the front, the motor and trans in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything even half like that, it's going to be an incredibly complicated task to get both of those engines to work at the same time.
Yeah, the rear engine's putting so much, like, stress through the front drivetrain that it just, like, eats itself.
Actually, just like,
oh.
It would have so much torque, it would just rip the chassis mounts from the center and just roll out of the side door.
Yeah.
Fucking rolled out of the door onto the fucking ground at the intersection.
Hell yeah.
It's like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Family of five and a fucking Odyssey hits it and flies over the fucking mountain. Oh my god.
Premium member Meep But in Japanese says, what was the best vehicle you've ever owned in terms of daily driving with an enthusiast's touch?
Ooh, that's a great question. What? Oh, man. Daily driving. I feel like maybe the Focus RS? No, maybe. Anyway, that was a little too stiff. That was a little too stiff to be okay, yeah. That's kind of why I sold it. Hold up. I feel like there's something in my brain and it's just like, hidden because I've had too many cars. It's more just been a long time and my brain is slowly falling apart.
Mood.
No. The Evo was not good. That was like a cave.
A cave.
God, there's like something. I'm like, what is this thing? No, the Hummer H3 was really cool. That was a stick, but God, it was slow. It's an enthusiast vehicle, but
I didn't know they made an H3 with a stick.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Good cars, honestly. I'm like about to go look at my Insta. Just give me a sec.
Okay.
What the fuck have I owned?
I feel like there's a car in my brain somewhere that's like good.
PTSD?
Like, I remember like maybe that's pretty high on the list. Am I just forgetting some car? Maybe not. Maybe the CTSV is just like my beloved. You know,
I forget some cars that I've owned.
I had a Buell XB9 also around that time that I love.
Ooh. Oh,
this one was good. This one was actually good. This is, I think, what I was thinking of in the depths of my mind, where people fear to tread. Yeah, I had a Saab 9.3 Aero with the V6 turbo manual. Mm. That was a great.
Those are fucking fast.
They're quick.
They're super fast.
Not a handler, but.
No,
like tune the little like sprinkle it and
yeah, they plow. They're not turning cars, but they are very fucking fast in a straight line. I discovered that on accident once, and I was someone brought in a V6 turbo 9.3 Aero wagon, or maybe it was a 9.5 Aero wagon with the V6 turbo. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like a baby blue V6 turbo Saab, and. Yeah. It was automatic, and I just like floored it because it said like it made a noise under acceleration. I was like, all right. So I floored it, and it like was like, I was like, this is so fast.
No, they'll like knock your socks off. They're like weirdly quick. And that thing just like cruised at 80. It's like a GM product underneath, more or less. So it's sort of reliable, and if it breaks, it's cheap, comfy, kind of don't give a damn. But yeah. Just a really good overall like mess around, not boring and not like taxing vehicle. I don't know, somewhere in the middle.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
Oh, cool. I have a 9.3.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I'm
trying to sell it actually. I've decided. It's a 2000. It's a 9.3 SE with the 2 liter
Oh, so it's just before the GMification, right?
Yeah, like 2003 was like the real GMification of it. It's still it's a 2000, so it's like not, it's still sobby and weird. And the previous owner ran it out of oil, and then it had a bunch of sludge in the oil pan, and I took all the sludge out, but it needs, ultimately it needs the motor rebuilt. I just don't really want to deal with it.
It's weird. You don't want to rebuild a sop motor?
You can drive it. It's fine. It drives fine. It just makes the motor makes a little noise. And it consumes
put
a lot.
Some Lucas in it.
Be fine. Yeah, that doesn't do anything.
Put some Z-Max in there.
Mm-hmm.
Premium member. We got two more Patreon questions here. Premium member Masonite500 asks, what was your first car and what are two of your dream cars? One achievable and one a true dream vehicle.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's an easier one. First car was an FD RX-7.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, 94. It was a cool car. They're still weirdly cheap, I'd say, for what they are. Mm-hmm. I feel like they haven't been price hit. They haven't been like blown up like the Supras or whatever. And then dream cars. I would say sort of the achievable dream that I'm literally dreaming right now, and I'm like, I don't really know how I would get that, is the CT4V Blackwing. Really. Ooh. Just like
very cool.
Modern. I guess that's like new dream car. I could probably think of like something in that range, but I've been like, oh, that'd be such a good daily, like, whatever. And then dream car.
Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen fucked my mom.
What?
How?
You never seen that meme before?
No.
I fucked your mom, shitless.
You've oh, that. Okay, I've heard that.
I didn't know it was Lightning McQueen.
Anyway, back on topic.
I'm kind of torn between maybe two Porsches. I mean, I'm going to say it's like, yes, I'm sure if I sat here for like 20 minutes, I could come up with. I think I saw something the day where I'm like, that's the mm-hmm. dream. But sort of between, I don't know, Carrera GT or 911 GT1, the original.
Ooh,
one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are
that
both.
That is really cool. And like the Mercedes, the CLK GTR is like arguably cooler in a lot of ways, but the Porsche feels
okay,
flying car.
Yeah, the
Mercedes Airlines.
I think the flying one was the Lawrence.
Hey, you mean this?
Yeah, the flying Mercedes car.
Oh, is that the one that flew? I thought that was the Lawrence or C9. But anyway,
it went like this, and then it went like, and then it went like that.
Yeah,
it went like it was like that, and then it went that.
The Porsche feels more like livable to me. It feels the most like a real, like, you could be a real car. Like the CLK mm-hmm. GTR is like a sort of crazy art piece, and the McLaren F1 cost you $3 trillion when you like started, you know, or whatever, like mm-hmm. all the services. The Porsche feels, probably not true, but it feels like you could still like maintain it reasonably, and like, you know, mm-hmm. still fix. So that or just a Carrera GT because I grew up then and like, holy shit, it's a Carrera GT. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. don't think too hard about it.
Mero car.
I think the GT2 is the middle ground of all those. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last question from the Patreon, then we'll go to the Instagram responses. Sports Cars of Sumas asks, unlimited money, what are your what are your dream three-car garage builds?
Three-car garage builds.
F22 Raptor.
Pratt and Whitney 4680 inside of a fucking Miata. 80,000 pounds of thrust.
Infinite power.
Mm-hmm. Space shuttle SRB on a K-truck.
Tesla V3 rocket on a Prius.
God fucking damn it.
Power. Three bells. Oh, man. That's a tough one. Because I want them to be built. I want to like take the question seriously. Like, what would I build? You know what would be really cool, actually? Is this might be kind of a fucking lame answer, but whatever. It like came to mind because I do want to build it. Like, legit. Mm-hmm. They're really cool. Is the Factory 5 truck thing they do. You know what I'm talking about? So you take a 2010 to 18, some year, like 07 to 18 F-150, okay. And you pull the like body off the frame. No, sorry. Yes, you pull the body off the frame, and then you put the body on the Factory 5 frame.
Yeah.
And it's like long travel. What's it called?
It's called the XTF.
XTF, yes.
Interesting.
That's fucking sick.
One of those with some like up-spec components and like a nice blower or something. That would be just a ripper. It'd be so cool.
Oh, so it's like a Raptor, but cooler.
Like a Raptor, but what it actually is supposed to be.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. To me, it feels more real, like desert
I've
truck.
I've seen one of these.
That would be dope. Ooh, what about a little sports car, too? Some kind of like little... A little sporty. What would you build?
It's only 25 grand. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I actually want to say that that's achievable. Unlimited money. I don't even know what I do with unlimited money.
Ariel Atom with a twin turbo LS7.
I don't have any money, so never had any. I don't know what to do with
it. Yeah.
actually, every time I get a dollar, it just goes away. Oh, Ariel Atom. That gives me an idea. A diesel. I want to do a diesel motorcycle. I've always wanted to do
Interesting. Yeah.
I would love a diesel motorcycle.
I would do a turbo Chinese air-cooled V-twin diesel, because those are around. It would probably make, 50 horses or some shit like that.
But the torque, though.
But 100 foot-pounds of torque.
Like 100 miles a gallon. And you just do, a cruiser with it, You do, what frame would you put it in? I should just do my own frame. I have an unlimited money. I'm making my own frame. Yeah. I can cut that shit up.
I think a Rocket 3 frame would fit it, maybe.
I'm going to take a fucking blacksmith and make a frame for me with blacksmith materials.
Exactly. I would just go pay all the money to have all the machined, every this, that, and the other. Like a Confederate cycles. Oh, sorry, they're called something else now. I still remember.
Confederate cycles?
You can't fool me, Confederate. They make really cool bikes, by the way, if you've never seen them. I don't know what they're called now, but... What's number three? All right, we have a off-road, a car, a bike. It's got to be like some normal... Oh, okay. Ooh, we're getting somewhere. It's got to be a wagon. It's got to be useful. Does it have to be a wagon? Maybe it doesn't.
Something practical?
No, you know what? If this is the Dream 3 car, I promise I just have like GT2 on the brain. Just like give me a 997 GT2 and I'm going to do cool shit to it. Like I'm just going to make it like go real fucking fast and handle well. That's a kind of a boring third answer, but I can't think of anything better at the moment.
That you got the off-road car, you got the motorcycle, and then you got the fast road car. I feel like that's a pretty good, well-rounded combo.
You know, it's a three-car. You wouldn't get bored with that, I tell you what.
Mm-mm.
That or like a 1,000 horsepower Volvo wagon.
There you go.
Since I mentioned it earlier. I think that'd be great, actually. I think that probably
does. You can probably make that handle really good on a track if you tried hard enough.
Yeah, like it'll be
just widen the chassis about 3 inches. I'm sure it'll work.
I have a buddy with a 242 that he fucking LS swapped and he tarmac races it, and it's pretty cool.
Nice. Do y'all hear about the BTCC car where they, what did they do? They like cut the head at an angle. They did something really weird. They like off
the head of the engine?
They took the cylinder head and they like machined it with like a 3-degree tilt, and it did something really weird. It like got around a rule that says you weren't allowed to do something or another.
Interesting.
I love getting around rules in motorsports. That's so cool.
It was such a weird one. I'll have to go look it up. I should have it on hand. But yeah, whatever. That's my answer.
That's something to look up later.
Sick.
But thank you very much to our premium members on our Patreon page at Flagtime Podcast on patreon.com. So thank you very much for your generous support to this dumbass show. So we'll go ahead and go to the Instagram responses. And as per tradition, we always start off with the first person to get a response off on the Instagram story response. And Instagram user Gonzalo Groovy, I think.
Yeah. All right.
Asks, is mechanical engineering worth it?
Interesting question. Is it worth it? I wish I had more context on that, but I know they have pretty high character limits. I think my answer on mechanical engineering specifically is that you can learn. I'm gonna pick a direction for this question because you can take it in like five of them. I'm gonna take it as, is the degree worth? Well, actually, we'll answer two. Is the degree worth it? And then is the profession satisfying? Mm-hmm. The degree, I would say the big thing about it is it directs you. You can learn everything in mechanical engineering from the books. You can buy them. You can look it up. You can learn that shit. As with, I think probably most things in college, and this is. None of this is profound, but it's still my take on it. Is that it's just nice to have that like synthesis and the direction and the people to talk it over with and some like formal structure behind it. I don't know. Because like then, but is the degree worth it? Take it to state school, yeah. I can't imagine paying like fucking $30,000 for it. Like go to a cheap school, do the formula program, kick ass, like fucking show up and rock. And then SpaceX will just hire you. Like,
yeah, that's actually, I can confirm that. I have a friend that went to the Western Washington Formula SAE program and they now work for SpaceX. That's not even a fucking joke.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, they were like chatting us up until our car broke in endurance. That's another story for another day.
Did your university's formula program also happen to have an EV1?
An EV1, like an EV
engine. Like a GM EV1, like the electric car that GM made. I heard more than, so they have, Western Washington's VRI program has one, and I've heard that there are more VRIs that do the SAE formula program, and they have EV1s. Like, I just heard that from a couple people that had that. But I don't know if they would just be like, oh yeah, we have an EV1 too. I don't know if that was just bullshit or not.
Maybe there's two.
It could have been, but you never know.
Yeah, as far as, and just, again, I'm just doing the most here, but like, is it, I want to at least like make a good attempt of answering his question. Like, is it a worthwhile, degree in terms of the jobs you get? I'd say the biggest problem with it, in terms of if you're an automotive enthusiast, especially, which I assume this person is, the interesting jobs are few and far between to some degree. I think if you're exceptional, you can get, and sorry, you have to be willing to like move to Michigan basically if you want to work for an OEM. There are OEM jobs here. You can work at the test track. That's cool. Mercedes has a dev center here. But unless you work in racing, which is intense, it seems like it's a small field. You have to like, again, do formula, be good at what you do, work hard to get into that. The automotive jobs are not that many, and the interesting ones are even fewer. And they're all in Michigan, unless you want to move overseas. And the big problem for me is in SoCal, probably what you're going to do is make weapons.
Hell yeah.
I did not want to do that. I don't mind.
Same thing probably guns. With Texas.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mind guns as much, like consumer market stuff. Like I worked for Ruger's, probably kind of cool, or Kel-Tec or something.
Everybody at Kel-Tec does cocaine.
Okay.
You want to keep it that way. Okay.
It's true.
But yeah, working down here, it's like I really was like, the money's great, the benefits are great. I really don't fucking want to build bombs. And I feel very
Raytheon.
That's understandable.
I mean, by LAX, and yeah, there's Raytheon and there's Northrop and there's Lockheed. I mean
you want to make $300,000 a year, that's where you want to work.
Yeah, you start at 80 to 150 or whatever the fuck it is. And yeah, you can work your way up, right?
Texas Instruments is actually down the street from my house.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and so if you don't want to do cars, sorry, if you can't do cars, you don't want to do that, you're doing HVAC. So, which is not necessarily bad, but my point is you have to want that. You have to be like, cool, I just want a stable job that pays well, you know, or you do consumer design maybe, which is maybe interesting to some, but is it worth it? I don't know. That's my answer is look at the jobs around you first. And see what you're likely to actually be able to do with it.
If you're like, I want to do this.
Yeah, or be smart and ambitious, I guess. But and you can but yeah, like unless you do formula, I don't know. It's gonna be a tough one. Cool.
Go do the formula SAE program. If you live in Washington, go do the one at WWU.
Yeah.
That one's cool.
Let's see. We'll do one more question here. We've got Jacob Byron 01 asks, how many fucks had to be removed to make the zero fucks given RX-7?
That's great. I actually, not to like commit slander here. Not to like destroy my own lore in one fell swoop. I would never have named it that.
Oh, really?
I cared so deeply about that car. I worked very hard on that car. It was such a labor of love to me, and I was actually going to paint it. I was going to finish the build. So actually, I didn't need to remove any. I gave the exact right amount.
So you actually gave many fucks, contrary to popular belief. This is a many fucks given RX-7.
I think I think, but to maybe acknowledge the spirit of the question, I got rid of my sort of inhibitions about doing stuff. I was so purely, in sort of like the naive artist way, I guess, if I want to get a little pretentious, is I was like, I want to put the oil cooler on the hood, not because it's necessarily the best place, but because I fucking love Bosuzoku cars.
And yeah. This is
an amalgamation of everything I love. I'm not going to let, like, some, like, I'm not going to let the box stop me too much, right? It's like I was saying, like, the boxes have to, like, feed the build, but it becomes its own thing as you build it. It takes its own life. So I'm like, you know, my original idea is, like, I want a Shelby Cobra, but, like, cheap, and I'm going to build it. And by the time I got to this point where I'm putting the oil cooler on the hood, I'm like, this isn't a Cobra, though. This is, like, a hot rod. This is something else. This is, like, you know, the wooden grain from the wood grain from old Mopars, right? And the triple stack gauges, like, out of a Viper. That's where I got that inspiration. Yeah. Like, oh, Viper, like, vertical gauges. Cool. And so all this stuff has just became, like, this is just shit I love. I'm putting it on the car. And so, in that sense, no fucks were given from the very beginning.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's all my answer.
Nice. I think that's a good place to end. Cora, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, y'all. This was cool. My child loved it. She loved the pasta. I loved it.
Is there anything you want to plug before we go?
I don't know. Someone give me money to build a car. No, I said I write some stuff on Revzilla under Cora. If you look, I've only like 5 or 6 articles, but they're cool. And if you read them, they'll ask me to do more, or they'll like pay me or something more.
Well, there you go.
Buy shit from Premier Tuning Group. That's cool. And yeah, I don't know. If you got any cool ideas, come on into my inbox. I'm old and washed up, but we'll make it happen.
Sounds good. Well, that's this episode of Flag Time. I want to thank all of our Patreon members for supporting this dumbass show. As per obligation, we have to highlight all of our premium members' names. So we want to thank Ansel Fuji, Ashton Green, Ben, Big Blue Caddy, Chat Good Mango, Cheesy Chap, Chrysler Connection, Devin Newby, Dog Milk 53, Eli Hip, Ellis Chateau, Force User, Ford Tech 1397, Framed Automotive, Hack Flock Tom Foolery, Hal Hayden, Jan Hankey, JJ the Tech, JJ Knight 00, John Montague, Kai Dustpan, Kyle Olson 25, Level 14, Sports Cars Asumas, Luna Cat Eye, Mad Mike, Mad Max 5, Masonite 500, Maxine Prubham, Midwestern Metalhead 03, Mississippi King, Mopar 1966, Nathan, Nick Toomey, Polyester 69, Police 428, Cyan Lion, Keegan John, Sushi Sausage, Spencer Delfos, Starworks, Steve Henriquez, Tagarung, The Big Maple, The Forklift Guy, Vubula, William Martin, Woodwood, Elysium Darkness, and Meep, but in Japanese. Again, thank you so much for your generous support of this dumbass show.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you to all the audio listeners who listen to us every single week, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, y'all.